Welcome, investors, to the Absolute Return Podcast, your source for stock market analysis, global macro musings, and hedge fund investment strategies. Your hosts, Julian Klimochko and Michael Kesslering, aim to bring you the knowledge and analysis you need to become a more intelligent and wealthier investor. This episode is brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
Welcome, podcast listeners, to the Absolute Return Podcast. I'm your host, Julian Klimochko. I'm joined by my co-host, Mike Kesslering. And on today's podcast, we welcome special guest, Chuck Cohn, founder and CEO of Nerdy, a leading direct-to-consumer curated gig economy platform for live online learning benefiting both learners and experts. Nerdy recently announced a merger with SPAC, TPG Pace Tech Opportunities, in a deal that valued the company at $1.4 billion. On the podcast, Chuck discusses the founding of Nerdy and how the business developed over time, what attracted him to the online education industry, how the pandemic affected Nerdy's growth prospects, insights into the deal with SPAC, TPG Pace Tech Opportunities, the investment case for the stock, and more. So with no further ado, here's our discussion with Nerdy CEO Chuck Cohn. All right, we are live with Chuck from Nerdy. Happy to have you on the Absolute Return Podcast. So welcome. I wanted to kick things off with a name. I mean, that's a super unique company name, Nerdy. What's the story behind that? Where did it come from and how did it develop?
Sure. Well, first, thank you for having me on. Excited to be here and have the opportunity to tell the Nerdy story. So good question to kick us off. So Nerdy means to be characterized by an obsessive interest in something, especially technology. And so at Nerdy, we're really passionate and obsessed with transforming how people learn. And that name really defined how we thought about the future of learning and the place that we can actually have it. And it represented an opportunity to speak to the bigger idea that we're going after, one where you can actually help people learn in any subject, anywhere, and at any time across any learning format.
Interesting. And you're all about learning, education, online education industry. What attracted you to that specifically? Was this, did it start as a passion project? Was this something that you've always been thinking about? What led you to ultimately start up Nerdy?
Well, I started the company based on my own personal experiences and frustrations, finding the help that I needed when I was in college. I was studying for a calculus course. I knew that I needed personalized help outside the classroom, and it was quite difficult to find the help that I needed in time. And the realization that I came to was that there were many students across all ages, across all subjects, who needed more assistance that was personalized, and that there was an opportunity to leverage technology in such a way where we could provide a higher quality service at a lower cost and more convenient setting. And that was the genesis for starting the business about 14 years ago.
So it's really been a long-term commitment. And I guess you started this right out of college. I was interested in learning about, you know, how that developed early on, just browsing through your career history. You had a stint as an investment banking analyst, which is always interests us because both Mike and I started on that career path as well. So how did the business develop from an idea in school to perhaps, you know, something part-time and now, you know, a fully legitimate company worth over $1 billion undergoing a going public transaction?
Well, it started with having a problem that I thought needed addressing, a really important and acute problem that I thought I could actually tackle and do good on. And so very modest beginnings on a college campus and an introduction to entrepreneurship course, and kind of got the product market fit right at first, finding solutions that leverage technology to personalize learning, to deliver more value, and to remove a lot of friction related to discovery that had historically been present in the model. And so as we kind of ramped up very early on, you know, I realized I needed to get a job. I went to work in energy and power investment banking. And then I actually spent 3 years in healthcare, late stage venture and private equity. And the whole time I tried to learn a little bit during the day, come home at night, try to employ some of those learnings related to how we could leverage technology and how I could build a team in such a way that we could actually go after that big opportunity. And so at the end of 2011, I realized I had become the big constraint to growth and that there was just a tremendous opportunity here and started focusing on it full time. And then in 2013, 2014, there were a couple of big technology shifts that allowed for us to take advantage of the ability to send audio and video packets peer-to-peer in a browser-based setting. And that was a pivotal moment where I realized that it was going to become possible to digitally enhance what had historically been an offline service and improve it in ways that it just previously hadn't been possible before. And that's when I went out and raised institutional capital and recruited a world-class team who had some of that pattern recognition, really went after a big opportunity.
Right. So education, obviously a massive total addressable market. You have the product market fit that you figured out as things developed. Let's talk about the service that you offer, the learning platform that really helps your customers attain their goals. What's really been the key to success thus far? Because as we all know, there's a ton of different options to get what the customers want, which is to learn the skills necessary to accomplish their goals.
Sure. So the thing that we've done that's really unique is figure out how to scale high quality live instruction and deliver it through a single cohesive learning destination. So, you know, it's not hard to deliver a service with one individual. Once you start getting up to 1,000 or 10,000 or 1,000,000, that's where it becomes immensely, immensely complex. And you need to take a software-driven approach to how you scale it. And what we've done that's really unique is be able to use software, hold a really high bar as it relates to live learning and the personalization and the quality that is related to it, and then also bring together multiple different learning formats. And so from the consumer's perspective, you can learn any of 3,000 different subjects. You can learn in a one-on-one setting, in a small group class, 5 to 25 people, in a large format class, 500 to 50,000 people, or you can do self-study, including using adaptive tools. And so the net effect that's been really exciting is that when we brought together all these different ways of helping people, we've been rewarded with really deep relationships with customers, really strong retention, and accelerating growth.
And now a word from our sponsor, Accelerate, one of Canada's most innovative and fastest growing alternative investment solution providers, with a suite of institutional caliber alternative ETFs for investors seeking diversification and long-term performance. The Accelerate Arbitrage Fund, symbol ARB on the TSX, is the world's first SPAC-focused ETF with a diversified portfolio of SPAC and merger arbitrage opportunities in an easy-to-use, low-cost ETF. The Accelerate Arbitrage Fund ETF trades under the symbol ARB on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
So you really highlighted what the value proposition would be from a consumer's perspective, 3,000 different topics that any of us can learn on. What about, as it is a double-sided platform, what about from the perspective of the experts? What's the value proposition from their side?
So from the expert's perspective, they're drawn to the opportunity to work with students, make supplemental income, not have to do all the marketing and sales associated with running your own business. And we make it really easy to do high quality and meaningful work from the comfort of your own home that is intrinsically rewarding. And so people are drawn to the platform because they like instilling their knowledge in the next generation of people. It's one of the few jobs you can do from home that is very rewarding that you can do in off hours. And we can really take advantage of the full educated workforce in the United States. And we can offer them this really attractive ability to do meaningful work in kind of off hours.
That makes complete sense. And so from an expert's perspective as well, like how much are some of these experts earning on average?
For most people, it's a very supplementary job. So they'll be an engineer by day and then teach calculus on the platform at night, or maybe they're a teacher by day and teach elementary reading at night. And so it really varies. And so depending on the complexity of the subject, there's kind of a varying amount they can earn. More complex subjects tend to allow them to generate more revenue. And then separately in the class setting, that's kind of because we now have, call it 5 or 10 or 20 or even 25 students in some of these classes, the actual amount that they can generate then is also higher. So depending on complexity of subject and number of students in the class, that can allow for instructors on the platform, for experts on the platform to generate substantial income.
Interesting. And then in terms of being the learner, I guess, there's a certain amount of trust that the consumer puts in the platform, where curation of a group of experts is really important. And as I understand, you are using some AI to help with some of that matching and curation. Can you go into that in a little bit more detail?
Sure. So this is a category that's really unique in that there's really only demand for high quality service. It's not commoditized. So people come to our platform because they're looking for an expert in the truest sense of the word. And that then requires that we're able to consistently deliver high quality live instruction at scale. And so long ago, I used to go to a coffee shop and personally interview each and every prospective expert and tutor on the platform, give them a diagnostic test. They would actually do a mock lesson plan, talk about their past experiences and why they thought they would do a great job working with students, background check, test scores, you name it. And eventually, if they're really good, they would get access to the platform. And that was very labor intensive. And so what we've done over the course of many years is start investing in technology, including process automation, including machine learning, including leveraging computer vision and other technologies, where we actually leverage those throughout the entire experience to make sure that we're getting great experts on the platform, and then allowing those experts to work with the learner who could very specifically benefit from their own expertise. So we have machine learning matching algorithms that actually take into account over 100 different variables. That then allows us to personalize the match for a given learner. And what we find is that when we get that match right, it has a profound impact on the learner satisfaction with the retention on the platform and the extent to which they get value. And so as we've gotten signal related to some of those things over the years, we've really, really leaned into leveraging a software-driven approach, and particularly machine learning-driven approach, wherever we can.
Now, what I find fascinating, and you mentioned the concept a number of times, machine learning, artificial intelligence, and how advanced those platforms are getting in looking out into the future, say, probably still a number of decades away. But do you envision a future in which there perhaps you don't need human experts? Like, I wonder if software could do the teaching. Do you think that will ever happen?
Well, I think there will be a confluence. And so the way we think about it is, we're trying to give the experts and learners superpowers that simply are not present in the offline world. And so we're going to continue to enhance that digital delivery, arm them with content and capabilities that you just couldn't get in an offline world. And our expectation is that over time, the delta between the experience you get either on other platforms or offline will grow, and that there will be an opportunity to enhance it with technology and AI in such a way that eventually, in the fullness of time, those experiences become blended, and it's markedly better than what you could get from a kind of unaided solution outside the platform.
Yeah, so let's discuss alternatives. There's obviously many ways to learn out there. You have a number of competitors, Chegg, Khan Academy. How does Nerdy differentiate itself? And do you want to walk us through the competitive environment and how you, like, what's your value proposition versus some of your main competitors?
Sure. Well, the companies you referenced are quite different, but what we do that's very unique is live learning at scale through a software-driven approach. So we're providing this high-quality experience that from the consumer's perspective feels very high touch. We build deep relationships with each customer where they reward us with high LTV and high retention as a result of being able to provide that high-quality service at scale. But because it's being driven by a software-oriented approach and marketplace infrastructure, we're able to do it in such a way where we provide immense value to them. So compared to some of the other legacy companies in professional training or in test preparation or in learning centers, you know, very often we're providing one-on-one through a better platform, a markedly better platform, at a third of the price or half the price. And it's better personalized to them. And so we feel like there's just this immense value component that the consumer sees, where they say, well, why would I go anywhere else? And really, as you look across like the $62 billion market that kind of exists in direct-to-consumer learning just in the United States alone, it's massive, it's fragmented, it's split among tens of thousands of companies, millions of independent individuals. tutors, other training professionals. And that's the opportunity we have here, to provide a higher quality service that's more convenient, personalized, that is all delivered through a comprehensive single online destination.
And now a word from our sponsor, Accelerate, one of Canada's most innovative and fastest growing alternative investment solution providers. With a suite of institutional caliber alternative ETFs for investors seeking diversification and long-term performance, the Accelerate One Choice Alternative Portfolio ETF, symbol 1C, ONEC on the TSX, is Canada's first alternatives portfolio solution, providing exposure to 6 alternative asset classes, 10 alternative strategies, in one easy-to-use, one-choice ETF that charges a management fee of just 0.2%. The Accelerate One Choice Alternative Portfolio ETF trades under the symbol 1C, ONEC on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Find out more at accelerateshares.com.
So I have to ask as well, because, I mean, obviously a marketplace platform is a very, very good business model. And so when you were thinking about your pricing strategy, I mean, there's tons of great information online from the VC perspective. I mean, Bill Gurley has talked a ton about optimal pricing strategies for marketplaces. But what's your pricing model, and how did you go about thinking about how to implement that pricing model?
Sure. We certainly didn't take the kind of Bill Gurley formulaic approach. We looked at it relative to the competitive set. We tried to provide a value proposition from a pricing perspective that was so compelling that we thought we could just take a massively disproportionate set of the market. So as opposed to drive it by, you know, by percentages, as he might have described in the past, or alternatively, you know, based on some other construct related to brand power, however other businesses might think about this, we very much want to be so compelling from a pricing perspective that you feel like you'd be crazy not to consider us, while still allowing for healthy gross margins, strong contribution margins that allow for us to build a business that allows for the reinvestment in product and technology and all the things that will eventually allow us to build a competitive moat.
That's interesting to note, the competitive environment, pricing strategy, and how you guys compare to other offerings out there, especially in a very unique time period going through this pandemic, many people stuck at home. So I suppose that was really prime time for Nerdy. But I really wanted to talk about how the business was affected by the pandemic and how did it affect the industry as a whole, because I'm sure it's a highly volatile time. Was that, you know, something that really skyrocketed the growth of the company?
Well, you know, COVID's kind of been a mixed bag for us. And so on one hand, the really tremendous thing that it did is it brought attention to the fact that you can get an exceptional experience online. You don't have to drive to a strip mall anymore. You don't have to drive to a corporate office park from the comfort of your own home and go to a website and get an exceptional experience that's higher quality, lower cost, more convenient. The tough thing about COVID was that there are a number of different ways that it actually served as a temporary demand headwind. So college enrollment is down this year. Graduate school enrollment for many programs is down. You have people that are scared to go get professional tests that were taken, you know, like the Series 7 exam, or all, you know, a variety of other standardized tests are canceled across the country. Entire states went grade optional. And so those were all kind of demand headwinds for us. And so now as COVID dissipates and schools return to in-person learning, we're actually really excited about the fact that, one, consumers are now aware that great online learning exists, but that, two, there's some sort of return to normal as it relates to testing, admissions, grades counting again, things that are actually drivers of the business. And as you probably know, we're in this unique point in time where students are way behind. You know, on average, students in the United States are something like 5 months behind what would be expected of them from grade level proficiency. So there's this acute problem and acute pain that people across the country are feeling. And we feel like we're uniquely positioned to help help those students in this really time of need related to COVID learning loss. So, you know, maybe to just summarize, you know, the business is humming. We feel like we innovated our way through. And now as we come out of COVID, really benefiting from some of these secular tailwinds, but also can do a lot of good with a lot of people who need help.
Yeah, it's a good point. I really feel for these students that have lost, you know, so much time, and it makes you think how lucky, you know, we are being older and not having to go through that. But nonetheless, I mean, Nerdy is going through a massive milestone in its growth. Let's talk about the big deal announced in January, merger with SPAC TPG Pace Tech Opportunities, valued Nerdy at a $1.4 billion enterprise value. Obviously, TPG is a very big name in the private equity space. How did you guys link up with TPG? And, you know, tell us a bit of background behind this going public process. Was it competitive? Did you consider other structures?
Sure. So ever since, as I mentioned at the beginning of the call, I became convinced that it was a once-in-a-generation opportunity to take advantage of this technological shift back in 2014, 2015. That was the moment where, you know, I kind of knew we were going to take this business public, that there was an opportunity that would that I don't think I would ever get again to really transform an entire industry, and that we needed to go out and raise institutional capital and find investors who had the pattern recognition of having done it before. So the first institutional round was from TCB, Technology Crossover Ventures, one of the largest and most successful consumer internet investors that's out there. And they've been a terrific investor in helping us guide toward an eventual IPO. And we had really thought about a couple of items that we wanted to get done prior to going public. And those included things like really rounding out the product suite well beyond one-on-one into multiple different learning formats, proving to ourselves that we could be profitable and self-sustaining, which is something that we were able to do in the back half of 2020. And building out a complete management team that we thought could take full advantage of this opportunity. And so, you know, the plan had been to take the business public in 2021. And I had built a relationship with TPG over the course of 4+ years, including getting to know their CEO, Jim, and one of their large venture funds, the Rise Fund, which invests a lot of education technology businesses. So we had a deep relationship with them already. And as we started thinking about the process of going public, they were kind of at the top of our list to talk to, given their past experience there and the trust that we built. So, you know, we, like many late stage businesses now, you know, there's no shortage of investors just pouring in to talk to you all the time. But from my perspective, it's really important to find a partner that you think can actually add value to the process.
Oh, that's super important to have, you know, a highly credible partner, which certainly found in TPG. Now, going through some of the investor materials, I noticed the term inflection point. It was mentioned a number of times. Do you think you could expand on that from an investor's perspective? You know, what is really changing with respect to Nerdy as you move along in this process?
Sure. So there's a few things. The first is related to this moment in time where all of a sudden, all consumers in the United States are aware that you can get a great digital online learning experience. That wasn't the case 2 years ago, and it's expected to be a huge secular tailwind for many years to come. And the second is, with some of the improvements we've made to our multi-learning format approach, bringing together one-on-one, small group, large format, and adaptive self-study into a single destination, we've seen substantial increases in retention, in net promoter score, in LTV. And those are durable changes, and there's a lot of opportunity left to make them even better. And so the unit level economics of the business have just gotten markedly better, and it puts us in a position where we can kind of play a different game, be a more offensive than we ever have been in the past. And then lastly, you know, as a private business, we had a relatively lean team, and one of the things about this opportunity that gets me so excited is that we can be offensive, we can hire aggressively, particularly in growth-oriented roles like product engineering, data science, and marketing, and really lean into this big opportunity. And so, you know, one of the things that you'll see in our forecast is that we anticipate investing in some of those key growth-oriented roles, and we're going to be able to go after this opportunity more aggressively than we have in the past. And those three things come together, I think, to create just a substantial inflection point, and really all the momentum we saw at the end of 2020 that's carried into 2021 just gets us really excited.
Now, with this transition from being a private company to now becoming a public company through a SPAC merger, which is ongoing, would be interesting to get your point of view on the fact that, you know, there's tons of SPACs out there, tons of new companies going public. How is Nerdy going to stand out with all these companies competing for investor dollars? What's ultimately the investment case for the stock, and why should investors pay attention to Nerdy stock specifically?
Sure. Well, it's a huge market opportunity, $62 billion market. We have product market fit. We have multiple different product formats that allow us to have a very differentiated approach to the market. We're providing immense value. We have a proven and seasoned management team. Our gross margins are getting consistently better over time. You have revenue accelerating. You have LTV going up. You know, every user metric that we've shared kind of demonstrates the health of the network. You have each person on the other side of the network, the experts actually doing more work. And so, you know, if I was an investor, the thing that I think would get me excited is the fact that you can look at the marketplace metrics, the marketplace dynamics, and see that there's something special here that's happening. So we think it all comes together to create you know, a situation where we're just really excited to be a public business. And you know, we think our product and our results will get people excited to be, you know, involved in the future.
Yeah, and certainly looking to capitalize on your recent momentum. And you mentioned this notion of inflection point. So perhaps you've really picked the right time to make your public market debut. Now, Chuck, prior to letting you go, where can potential investors learn more about the Nerdy story?
Sure. Just check out nerdy.com. We have lots of investor materials there. You know, but also go to our flagship business, Varsity Tutors, varsitytutors.com, and check out the website. You know, I think I saw in your bio, Julian, you had a background in crypto. Is that right?
A little bit. Yeah. Cryptocurrency.
Okay, so we're actually announcing today a partnership with Coinbase, where we're teaching a class on cryptocurrency for kids. So there's a lot of cool classes out there, and you know, for people that are interested in learning more, I think the best way to understand what we're doing and why it's different is to go try out some of our products.
Awesome. I love that expansion into perhaps unconventional or brand new technologically advanced topics, especially cryptocurrency for kids. I think that's an amazing idea, because I probably wouldn't have a good method of teaching that to children, but you're the expert, so I'm sure you guys have it figured out. But Chuck, thank you for joining us on the Absolute Return podcast today. Real pleasure having you on the show, learning about your background, Nerdy, and the growth opportunity that it presents to investors. So thank you, and we're wishing you the best of luck as you guys close the deal with TPG Pace Tech Opportunities and go on as a newly minted public company.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
All right. Cheers. Best of luck. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Absolute Return podcast. This episode was brought to you by Accelerate Financial Technologies. Accelerate, because performance matters. Find out more at accelerateshares.com. The views expressed in this podcast are the personal views of the participants and do not reflect the views of Accelerate. No aspect of this podcast constitutes investment, legal, or tax advice. Opinions expressed in this podcast should not be viewed as a recommendation or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any securities or investment strategies. The information and opinions in this podcast are based on current market conditions and may fluctuate and change in the future. No representation or warranty, expressed or implied, is made on behalf of Accelerate as to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Accelerate does not accept any liability for any direct, indirect, or consequential loss or damage suffered by any person as a result of relying on all or any part of this podcast, and any liability is expressly disclaimed.